This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Go Birds! What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Friday, January 2nd, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And happy Friday. You're probably back at work today, which is no fun. I feel like January 2nd is really the end of the festive season. Like all of December, you're not really working. You have Christmas, you have New Year's, you're doing stuff with friends and family the whole time. January can definitely be the start of like the coldness. It's still dark early, and you don't really have any holidays in January. So if you're at work today, sorry to hear that. But the Eagles are at work too, so maybe that'll make you feel better. But also, in some ways, the best time of the year is about to begin, because January, the past few seasons, or at least two of the last four seasons, has been Eagles, right? It's been what everyone thinks Red October is. That January has been that for the Eagles, right? Call it Green January. That's not really great. Midnight Green January, Kelly Green January, whatever you want to call it. Now, pretty much the playoffs begin. But we got one more game to get through as the Eagles play the Commanders this Sunday. And as we know by now, going to be a lot of backups in that game. The Eagles will be resting most of the key starters on Sunday. They're going to still play to win the game, which obviously they should. They are going to still have a shot at the 2 seed. We'll see what the Lions do against Chicago. If the Lions can beat Chicago, the Eagles move up to the 2 seed. If the Eagles either lose on Sunday or the Bears win, the Eagles stay at the 3 seed. And as we know, as we've talked about this week, the three potential playoff opponents, if they're the 2 seed, would definitely be the Packers. If they're the 3 seed, it'll be either the Rams or the 49ers. So we'll find out a lot in the next few days. But what we do know is no Jalen, probably no Saquon, no AJ. Like, they're going to rest a lot of these guys. So on today's pod, we're going to get into two things. First, I'm going to talk about who I would play, who I wouldn't play, and what I think the offense should, what the team should look like on Sunday. And then second, we will talk about Washington a little bit. Like, obviously, this is not a normal game, right? We can't really talk about matchups because it's not 100% clear who's playing on either side. And, you know, this is the Eagles aren't playing all their starters. So we're not going to do the normal matchups, but I will go over five things worth knowing about Washington heading into this game. But let's start where we always do, with what is on the schedule for today. And well, the Eagles, as I said, are back at work, just like probably you are, unfortunately. So at 11:40, we will hear from Nick Sirianni. At 12:30, practice begins. And at 1:40, an open locker room. So a lot of fun guys to talk to this week. Guys that don't play often, hear what Nick has to say about it. And will be some good stuff to come out of practice today. So in other news, not a lot really going on there with the schedule. I feel like there's normally a lot more to talk about, but not really a ton to talk about. So in other news, the book drive. I feel like I didn't talk about it on yesterday's pod. I feel bad. I forgot. I'm working with Treehouse Books this season, a nonprofit in North Philadelphia, right off Temple's campus. So local nonprofit that works to get books into the hands of children. Treehouse Books. That's the name of the foundation. I've worked with them the past few seasons. You guys have been so generous in your donations. We've raised $23,000 over the past 3 seasons. And with each book costing $5 for a kid, it's a lot of books. And this year, you guys have been incredibly generous. We're up to over $16,000 in donations. And I can see why it's been a particularly popular year, because we got some sick stuff that you could win. First, you could win a Zach Bond signed football, which is awesome. Just the details on how you can do that are in the podcast description and the link. Or a more obtainable prize, because there's more than one of them. You can get a sick shirt that was designed by Dewani Soraya, who did an awesome job with the shirt. It's pinned on the top tweet of my Twitter page. And then also, you could get it on a mug, which is really cool. So go check it out. Treehouse Books does a ton of good work. Very honored to work with them. And as someone that went to public school, whose parents both work in the education system, you know, it's important to me that the kids in Philadelphia have access to books, right? Like, we all love sports, but ultimately we love reading as well. Sports coverage, some people, sports, right? So I think this is an important cause and something we can all do some good on. So thank you to everybody that has donated. And if you haven't yet and you can't, I get it. But even just reading about it, maybe in the future, making a donation would be awesome. So thank you everybody that has. And hopefully we can get a few more $1,000 before the end of the season. And hopefully we got like 5 more 6 weeks of this because the playoffs begin soon and we'll see how far the Eagles can go. So part of dictating how far they go will be who they play in the first round, and who they play in the first round will be dictated of what happens Sunday. But we know the Eagles will not be playing their regular starters on Sunday. We don't know for sure yet who it'll be, but we know that they won't be playing some key starters. Some starters probably will play, but we know if they beat Washington, there's a shot they move up to the 2 seed. So going into this game, and let me make this clear, I do think it is worth trying to get the 2 seed. Like, I think it's important. You get the Packers in the first round. You get the second home game. You avoid going to Chicago in the playoffs. Like, I think getting this 2 seed is important. And if they lose to Washington because they played their backups and the Lions beat the Bears, that is going to be a big blow to this team, because getting that 2 seed would make it so much easier to advance to the Super Bowl. Getting the Super Bowl won't be easy, but it will be easier with the 2 seed. So the Eagles better know what they're doing here. Like, they still think they're going to try to win the game. I think they still think they can win the game. And I think there's a good chance they can't, because Washington's not that good, even with like their regular guys playing. But if you're going to play mostly backups and guys that haven't played together this year and guys that haven't played a lot of snaps, you better be right, because God forbid the Lions beat the Bears and the Eagles lose to Washington, man, that'll be tough. I do think there's a world where they have a lot of guys that are like regular players that are on reserve, you know, like can be on the bench but aren't in the game, and you could put in, like, let's say the, for whatever reason, Detroit's blowing the Bears out. Like, it's 21-8, it's 28-0 at halftime. Like, that game is over, right? And let's say you're losing 10-3 to Washington. Maybe you put some guys in. Maybe you bring Jalen into the game. Maybe you bring AJ and Saquon into the game. And maybe you go out and try to get that 2 seed. I think they will manage it where they have that option available to them. But let's talk initially about what the roster could look like, who they could play, who they could sit, who should start, and what it'll look like on Sunday against the against Washington. So first, as we've been, you know, doing a few times, I mean, pretty recently on this pod, excellent tweet from Deniz Selman, who honestly I think might be the best in the game right now in terms of Eagles content. Like, he produces so much amazing stuff. You know, he basically works for PHLY, so I'll credit him there. But just like a awesome Eagles fan that's really good at creating content and is a smart guy. So feel like I often am citing him his stuff recently. So credit to him. He does an unbelievable job. But he put out a tweet, which is very, very relevant to right now, and is a good way to kind of start this. So last year, we know in week 18, the Eagles rested their starters to create a bye. So Deniz went back and looked, and this is per Deniz, quote, "In last year's Week 18 game over the Giants, the Eagles had only 44 players dress and used only 34 of them in the game, allowing 21 regular players to sit out completely. If 34 is enough to play and you can dress 48, in theory, it's possible to have 14 regulars on reserve." So the 14 regulars that would be on the bench that wouldn't play, and then you have the inactives as well, right? So you add it up, and there was 21 regular players that did not play in the game. I'm not going to do all 21 because I do think they will try a little harder than they did last year. But how I'm going to look at it is this. There are 8 guys on defense I would not play, 8 guys on offense I would not play. So that's 16. And then there's some starters that I would be willing to have go out there in an attempt to get the 2 seed. So let's dive into to what that might look like. So the tricky part with the defense is, on one hand, I think their best chance of winning this game is playing most of their defensive guys, right? Like, you hold the Washington offense that is bad to 17 points or whatever, and you let a backup offense filled with Tanner McKee and, you know, hope they can get into the end zone a few times. So it's tricky because, on one hand, your best chance of winning is letting the defensive guys play. But then the flip side of that is, the defense is their best chance of getting to the Super Bowl. So you also probably want to rest most of the really good defensive guys. So on defense, here are eight players I would not put on the field, barring like a craziness in the second half again, where like Chicago's up big, everything's going poorly in the Eagles game. Or I'm sorry, Detroit's up big, things are going poor in the Eagles game, and you want to like put the players out there to try to win it, right? So the 8 guys on defense I would not put on the field: Jalen Carter, Jalen Phillips, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, Reed Blankenship, Zach Bond, Jordan Davis, and Brandon Graham. I think that's nine, actually. Brandon Graham, I understand that as a backup might have to be out there, but as a veteran, as someone that doesn't play a ton of snaps anyway, I just don't think you can put him out there. Jalen Carter, obvious why he shouldn't play. Super, super important. Quinyon Cooper, very obvious why they shouldn't play. Reed Blankenship is an interesting one because their safety position is so poor. But because of that, I think you can't risk losing them. If, God forbid, Reed got hurt in this game, they would be super screwed in the secondary. So you can't let Reed play. Zach Bond obviously shouldn't play. Jalen Phillips, like, if you notice, two names that weren't on there are Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt. I do think playing some edges and getting pressure on Josh Johnson could go a big way in winning this game. But Jalen Phillips, obviously with the injury history, was slow getting up last week. Like, I wouldn't put him out there. And then Jordan Davis, I almost had on my list of guys that would play, but he's so important. And I just think he's earned the right, earned the right to not play. So those are the guys on defense I would not play. And it's actually, is it eight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, eight players. Jalen Carter, Jalen Phillips, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Reed, Zach Bond, Jordan Davis, and Brandon Graham. So those are the eight guys on defense. On offense, I also have eight guys. I wouldn't play Jalen Hurts. I wouldn't play A.J. Brown. I wouldn't play Devontae Smith. I wouldn't play Saquon Barkley. And then on the offensive line, I would not play Cam, Landon, Jordan Mailata, or Lane Johnson. And actually, I'll add Goddard in there. So I'll go with nine guys on offense. So I would sit most of the starters on both sides of the ball. The tough thing about the offensive side, though, is the offensive line. Because, A, they don't have a ton of offensive linemen on the roster. They don't have a ton of good offensive linemen on the practice squad. And, you know, if you want to win the game, you need good offensive line play. Because I do think Tanner McKee and these receivers can pick apart the Washington secondary. And I think that they could put points up. But it's going to be way harder to do if he has no time to move. Like, Tanner is someone that needs pass protection. All quarterbacks need pass protection, but Tanner especially, not super mobile. So you're going to have to piece together an offensive line, but Cam and Landon clearly need the rest. Jordan Mailata has earned the rest, and I'd be shocked if Lane Johnson is out there blocking for Tanner McKee. So you're basically sitting almost all the offensive line. If you want to say at that point don't play Steen, fine, but like, I think Steen might have to play, again, with a little bit of your eye on the number two seed. So those are the guys I wouldn't play on offense. So the starters I'm willing to have take the field: Steen, Fred Johnson, who's kind of a starter now until Lane comes back, but regardless, Fred Johnson, Jalix Hunt, Nolan Smith, Jahad Campbell, Moro Jomo, and Jahan Dotson. Those are like the key players I would put out there. I think Steen and Fred help with the offensive line to help the offense move. Hunt and Nolan Smith get after Josh Johnson, force him to make mistakes. I get the risk in that. Trust me, like, they're important, but I also think they should try to win the game. Jahad Campbell out there with probably Trotter. I don't think N'Kobe plays. I guess maybe he should be included on the defensive guys, but I don't think N'Kobe plays. Campbell's a playmaker. Like, you got to have some good guys on defense. Moro Jomo, sorry, buddy. Like, you're really good. I get it. But man, they need to get some pressure on Josh Johnson. So I would still try to get a good defensive line out there. And then Jahad Dotson, I don't know if you would consider him a starter. Like, he is in a lot of ways, but I think he's got to be out there. So what the team would look like. On offense, I would obviously start Tanner McKee. Side note, think there's an argument to play Sam Howell, but whatever. Tanner McKee would start at quarterback. You have Tank Bigsby and Will Shipley at running back to use. Jahan Dotson, Darius Cooper. I would promote Terrace Marshall from the practice squad as my third receiver. He's a veteran guy. He was with Tanner McKee throughout training camp. They got a lot of reps together, as did Tanner with Darius Cooper. So I think Marshall would make sense to put up. At tight end, you'll have Calcaterra and Granson. I would have Goddard dressed like I would some of the other starters that aren't playing, but I wouldn't put him in there unless you absolutely needed to. And then my offensive line would look like this: Matt Pryor at left tackle, Brett Toth at left guard, Drew Kendall at center, Tyler Steen at right guard, and Fred Johnson at right tackle. That's what my line would look like. And yeah, it's not a great line. Like, these guys probably don't get a ton of reps together, although if you think about it, if they're all backups, like, maybe they do. But you have to put Steen and Fred out there, in my opinion, to give the offensive line some hope. So that's what my offensive line would look like. So can an offense built around Tanner McKee, Dotson, Tank, Calcaterra, and that offensive line beat Washington? I think it's possible, but obviously you'd have a way better chance if you played your starters. And then on defense, it would look something like this. And the secondary was hard to piece together. Nolan Smith and Josh Uche would be on one side. Jalix Hunt and Patrick Johnson would be on the other side. So I feel good about the edges. In the interior, you have Moro Jomo and Gabe Hall, who I would call up from the practice squad. Byron Young and Ty Robinson would be my other defensive tackle set. So your starting defensive line is actually pretty good. Nolan, Ojomo, Young, and Hunt. So I think you can get after Josh Johnson. And then you rotate there, obviously, with Uche, Patrick Johnson, Robinson, and Hall. At linebacker, I would do Campbell and Jeremiah Trotter. You have Smile Mondon there as a backup. In the secondary, you have Keeley at one side, Ja'Corian Bennett on the other. And then at nickel, you could go Mack McWilliams or Carter. And then at safety, you can go Sidney Brown and Andre Sam, who I think will be signed to the active roster from the 53. So yeah, I mean, you could also potentially put Carter at safety if you wanted to have Patrick Johnson be the one you sign. Like, there are ways around it, but that's what my defense would look like. I'd call up Terrace Marshall, Gabe Hall, Charlie Hewlett. I would also call up, and that's what my team would look like. So I think that you can beat Washington like that. I truly do, because on the other side, we are going to get into five things to know about Washington. And newsflash, they're still not very good. So Tanner McKee, Tank Bigsby, like, I still think the Eagles are taking the field with a ton of talent, or at least a ton of talent compared to Washington. Not so much on the offensive side of the ball, because Washington's still playing their guys. But I think that they can win this game. So on the other side, let's get into Washington Commanders, five things to know about them for this game. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, let's preview this game. And like I said, not going to be an in-depth preview like we normally do. And I can't wait to preview next week's playoff game. Like, previewing playoff games is one of my favorite things. I love training camp stats. I love talking to you guys. And I love previewing playoff games. So excited to do that next week. Obviously, with this game, we're not going to get into a deep dive of the matchups. But here are a couple things I think you should know about Washington. So first, worth noting that even with the backups in, even with the news that the Eagles will be playing the backups, right? The Eagles are still 3.5-point favorites. They're still expected to win this game and are more than a field goal favorite at home. So why is that? Well, Washington is terrible. They are 4-12 entering this game. And as you know, and this will be the first thing to talk about, Josh Johnson will be in at quarterback. Now, worth noting, Josh Johnson last week against Dallas, 15-23, 198 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So was not a disaster, but was also not good, right? What type of problems does he present? One, well, he's a 10-year vet. He's played with seven teams, played in a bunch of different offenses, is experienced, has played quite a bit, like not a ton, obviously, because he's been a backup or third stringer most of his career, but he's been in the NFL for a really long time. So the Eagles have the more experienced Washington has a more experienced quarterback in this game. I think the Eagles can feel confident that they have the better quarterback, but Tanner's never really played extended time in the NFL. So I think Tanner will be in the NFL for a long time, but Josh Johnson has been there longer. So that's the worry in facing Josh Johnson. Like, he's seen a lot of things. He's a veteran guy. As you can see, no interceptions last week. Like, he has a relatively high floor for a backup quarterback. Like, for a starting quarterback, he doesn't have a high floor, but for a backup quarterback, he's a relatively high floor. So I think with Josh Johnson, like, you're not going to trick him. I think it's about getting to him. Like, he's not super mobile. Get to him in the pocket, and I think you'll be able to really contain this offense. But Josh Johnson, a quarterback with no Marcus Mariota, you shouldn't lose to Josh Johnson at home. Like, full stop, especially if Tanner McKee is as good as the Eagles think he is. The other thing to know is, and we'll see if they end up doing this, but they're still playing a lot of their skill guys. Like, Terry McLaurin played last week. Deebo Samuel played last week. Their top running back, Ja'Cory Crowley Merritt, played last week. Shout out to the Hyphens. And not only are they playing, they're obviously they're being included, right? Terry McLaurin got 7 targets. Deebo got 4 targets. That's almost half of the passes Josh Johnson threw. And Crowley Merritt got 105 yards and 2 touchdowns. So their main still guys are still out there. And I think that would be the concern, right? It is the Eagles' makeshift secondary against Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel. And that's why I would play some of the edges and the tackles, the defensive tackles, because I think getting to Josh Johnson is going to be key. So like Terry McLaurin against Kelee Ringo or Jacorian Bennett, Deebo Samuel up against those guys. Like that's the only matchup in the game I think you really worry about. The Washington defensive line, we'll see who they play. Like, not that great, right? But I think that those two receivers, and Deebo's overrated too, but Terry McLaurin, like, now he's a veteran. It's almost offseason. I think that the Eagles players should be playing harder than Washington's. One, because they have more to play for, but two, because they're playing for their careers in some ways. Like, Terry McLaurin got paid. Deebo's got paid. Like, they should be the more motivated team out there, but it's still a tough matchup. So the Washington is still playing their skill guys, and that does present some problems. The other thing that's true about Washington, this is number three, is that they're still playing hard. Now, again, I think the Eagles players should be playing harder, but if you look at the recent stretch of games, right? So Washington went through a stretch where they got blown out, but of their last six games, which they're 1-5 in, so I'm not like acting like they're some sneaky good team, but four of those have been by one possession. One was to the Eagles, and we know that game like was kind of close into the third quarter. The other one was a 31-0 blowout. So if you count the Eagles as a close game, five of the last six games have been close. And obviously they've lost them all besides one, but they do compete hard. Like, they are a team that tries hard. Obviously, we know Dan Quinn really worked up about that two-point conversion and some of the stuff that happened in the last game. So he'll be trying to motivate his players in this game. But Washington does try hard, and they're not a team that gets blown out often. Again, there was that 31-0 blowout, which clearly a blowout, but they've been close outside of that. So especially with backups in there, like, I would expect a close game on Sunday. And the line tells you that too, at it only being 3.5. Now, the other thing that's true is they're still moving the ball on offense. Now, some of this is with Mariota, which is obviously a difference, right? But they had 328 yards of offense last week, 340 yards of offense 2 weeks ago. They put up 419 yards on the Broncos. That was with Mariota. And they're averaging 21 points a game over the last three games, which clearly is not good. But that's 18th. The Eagles are averaging 23 points, and they're 15th. So the Eagles starters over the past few games, the past three games, have basically been kind of the same as Washington with Marcus Mariota. So they do move the ball on offense, and that is the main worry in this game, is the Eagles secondary versus Washington. If you don't get to Josh Johnson, like, I think they could move the ball, and that's evident by some of the yards they've put up on other teams. So they definitely move the ball on offense. Now, these have all been offensive stats or facts, right? The last one, good news for Tanner McKee, Jahan Dotson, Darius Cooper, Tank Bigsby. The defense is hot garbage. In the past six games, listen to the yardage they've given up. 480 yards, 385 yards, 384 yards, 313 yards, 402 yards, 311 yards. They're getting torched on the defensive side of the ball. They've given up 30 points, 29 points, 21 points, 31 points, 27 points in a one good game where they gave up 16. But over the last three games, they're giving up almost 27 points per game, which is good for the 11th most in the NFL. So while I do think Washington's offense will probably score some points on Sunday, I think Tanner McKee in this offense should be able to move it against Washington's defense. Now, it's not easy to like just step on the field with 11 players that haven't played a ton and move the ball, especially when we know the Eagles' offense has struggled as is. But man, this Washington defense is really, really bad. So I think Tanner McKee will do well against his defense, and I think the Eagles will probably win the game. But there are a few tricky things. Again, Josh Johnson, veteran quarterback, skilled players on offense. They play it close, and they move the ball on offense. But that defense should be the reason the Eagles win the game. So that'll do it for today's Daily Podcast. Come listen to Go Birds Radio tomorrow. Me and James, 1 to 4 again. Got that extra hour of Go Birds. You'll love to hear that. So that'll be on the on Saturday. But go out, enjoy your day. As always, until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Birds! This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.